We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Chris Fluitt, and you are here at Redemption Church, and we greet you. Thank you for joining us today, whether you are in the room, love you guys in the room, but also people watching us online, love you guys. Thank you for checking us out. Love it when you reach out to us and leave comments and don't just lurk in the background like people tend to do in the internet. Thank you for reaching out to us. We love every one of you. We are excited to share the Word of God with you. Who knows the Word of God is shareable? Yeah, we need to be sharing the Word of God. We're going to be doing that today. We are in the final week of our series. It's called First Responders. Now, just so you know, if you didn't know the name of that series, we would have to start this series all the way over again. So yes, the name of the series is First Responders. It's been a powerful look into the calling of God. You have a calling of God on your life to respond to all the emergencies around you. Jesus Christ has called you to be a first responder. If you missed any of the series, you can find it at redemptionplano.com or the YouTube. All right, go look it up. Throughout this series, we have strongly challenged you. It was a pretty strong challenge. Yeah. Would you agree? Kind of even got on people's cases a little bit. I mean, we did it. But we encourage you to be a first responder. We've challenged you to respond to those emergencies that sometimes we just drive past. Sometimes we just turn a blind eye to. We've challenged you to share your testimony. We've challenged you to pray. We've challenged you to give and to serve and to make a difference. We have been trying to motivate people who may have never taken the step to share their faith to go ahead and do that. Right. That's been what we've done week 1 through 4. We've done that. Yeah. Can I tell you? It's needed. It's needed. You need, the church has got to do this, and we've got to look people in the eye. We are the silent majority here in the United States, and people are dying in emergencies all around us, and we're just sitting by not saying anything. You're going to get some pushback. You're going to get some challenge from this church. That is not okay. We have got to respond. We've got to do something. All right. Tonight, however, this message tonight, I want to talk to a little different people group. I want to talk to the people who have been witnessing. Because don't get me wrong, don't ever think that everybody in the church is just sitting on a pew. No, there are people working their guts out, witnessing, inviting, praying, actively seeking to serve in the kingdom, constantly feeling like, oh, there's something more that I can do. I want to encourage you tonight. This message is for you tonight. I want it to lift you up. I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight. You need to be encouraged. Who feels beat down a lot? You ever feel beat down in your faith, beat down in your accomplishment? You listen up. You're going to be encouraged before the day is over. I got to tell you, you've got to encourage your first responders. Now, we've all seen pictures like the one you're about to see. We've all seen pictures like this. By faith, you're going to see it. There it is. Who has seen a picture like that? A firefighter climbing down a ladder, holding a child. In the background, you see smoke and you see flame from a fire. And the child is holding on to the first responder with all they have. All they have. That little girl's face is just completely pointing towards the fireman. All she sees, all she senses, all that there is that fireman right there. Yeah. To not feel that fireman is to die. Yeah. Everything about this little girl is in touch with the fireman. Is this fireman important? Yeah. Oh, you bet this fireman is important. That child's holding on with all their strength. And we love pictures like this, right? If you are like yawn about pictures like this, if you're like, I would rather look at cat pictures. If that is you, you need to really just shake yourself, because pictures like this are powerful and they beat all the cat pictures everywhere. Okay? All right. I'm sorry, all the cat people. Dog pictures too. These pictures are powerful reminders of the frailty of life and how with strength and determination, we can see those that could not otherwise save themselves, we could actually see those people saved. I'm thankful for pictures like this. The world needs more pictures like this. This ought to be the front page news, not the stuff we're currently seeing. But I got to ask you, what happens next? You see this picture? What happens next? What happens? This fireman does what next? This picture is frozen in time, but what happens after the fireman climbs down from the ladder? Does the fireman carry this child for the rest of their life? Just like, well, I guess I've signed up, first responder, I'm just going to carry this child for... No, not on your life. That's not how it works. He hands her off. That's right. The firefighter's moment with the child comes to an end. The firefighter will hand the child to someone else, and the firefighter is going to run where? Back into the fire. This is what is going to happen. Someone else, like a paramedic, will begin to tend to the injuries of this child. And this firefighter that just had this strong moment with this child may never have another moment with this child. Am I making sense so far? All right, you'll see where we're going. I want to tell you that there is no balloon drop. There's no confetti. There's not a ticker tape parade. There is not a key ceremony with the mayor as soon as the firefighter comes down from this ladder. There are not big posters. There's not a big fan club. There's not a big GoFundMe page that's like, this guy's really awesome. That's not what exists at the bottom of this ladder. No one gives a standing ovation and said, you did it, first responder. Way to go. Way to go. Let me encourage you, first responder. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. What's at the bottom of this ladder are many other people that have been saved, and they're so shell-shocked they don't even know what's going on. The other kind of person is the person that's just rushing around and helping. They are just doing their best to help. Do they even always know how to help? No, but that doesn't stop them from trying anyway. They're running around. They're rushing around. The moment passes. The child goes one way, the firefighter goes the other direction. Often, the first responder never realizes the full story of the person they saved. They save the person only to hand them off to someone else who will continue to try to save them. I want to tell you something very important. Responders join a work they will never finish. You listen to me tonight. Responders jump into a situation. They join a work that they themselves will never finish. I imagine this has to be frustrating. The firefighter cares about the person in need. They enter into the struggle. They impact the struggle when it matters so greatly. But their part in the story comes to an end. And it's not really a satisfactory ending. It's really kind of incomplete. It's a cliffhanger, absolutely. It's not that the firefighter lacks care to go any further. Amen?
Amen.
It's not that, oh, this firefighter just doesn't care, or he would be at that little boy's bar mitzvah in 16 years or 13 years. How old? 14, 13? Something, bar mitzvahs. YouTube, get on that. Let me know. All right. The firefighter is probably trained and willing to actually do the work of a paramedic, right? They could go ahead and do that. The firefighter is willing to clean and tend the wounds and to even drive the child to the hospital. They're willing to do that. The firefighter is willing to place the child on a stretcher, roll them into the ER. The firefighter is willing to hold their hand and ask medical questions and check their heart rate. The firefighter's willing to do all of those things, yet the firefighter does not do those things. The firefighter is willing to help the child they rescued from a burning building, but they are called to hand that child off to someone else. The firefighter is called back into a burning building as someone else, like a paramedic, is called to take the child into their arms and continue that saving process. Responders join a work that they will never finish. This is true when it comes to working in God's kingdom. We are often called to pull people from the fire and then hand them off to someone else who continues the work. Happens all the time. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You maybe somebody is sticking in your mind. Absolutely. I only knew them for a short time. I thought I was going to know them for the rest of my life. I thought we were going to do ministry for the rest of my life. They were in my Bible study. I thought they were always going to be in my Bible study. But they weren't. They are in the hands of someone else all of a sudden. Can I tell you, sometimes that's a real downer. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we stand around going, but I wanted to hold this child forever. But I wanted to minister to this child forever. While we are feeling bad about ourselves, there are cries coming from a burning building. And we are missing the cries. We need to run back to the building. We need to hand the victim off to someone else. Are you following me today? Do you think you know where I'm headed yet? The work often continues outside of our influence and outside our field of vision. I want to ask you, what difference does it make? I'm asking you that, but you ask yourself that all the time. When you're struggling, when you're fighting depression, when people say bad things about you, when you don't have the money in the bank. I want to talk to the one who's been praying, but is not sure that their prayers have done anything. What difference does it make? I want to talk to the one who constantly has shared their faith. I mean, you don't just do it once in a while. You constantly are looking for a way to share your faith, but still you feel like you have not had much success. I want to talk to the teacher who has patiently shown care to students, but secretly wonders, does it really even matter? I want to talk to the young person who has invited their family to church, who has invited their friends to church, who has not been embarrassed to and has hidden their faith in Jesus, yet they are still sitting empty with chairs around them on Sunday worship. I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to the worship team that has consecrated their life into ministry, and they've given great effort to lead a congregation into the presence of the Lord, only to look out far too often into the eyes of a congregation that are static, stagnant, and lukewarm, and they wonder, what are we really even doing? I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to the spouse who has prayed and fasted, yet their husband or wife has still not professed faith in Jesus Christ. I want to talk to a preacher who has sought God on what to say and delivered it with conviction, only to see the results seem to always fall short of the anointed word of God and its purpose. I want to talk to the parents who are trying to lead godly lives and see those results show up in their children, only to wonder if they miss something since that transformation is not visible. I want to talk to the person who has given faithfully but is discouraged by their personal financial difficulty and also by the financial difficulty of their church. I want to talk to the person who feels the call of God in their life. But if we are to judge the call of God by results, then maybe we wonder if we're really called. Right. I want to talk to you today, small group leader. I want to talk to you in the room. You are in the room. Alzheimer care ministry that showed up week after week when no one else did. You who do your day job and you show up every day, and it would be really easy to be one way at church and another way at work, but you are doing your best to have Jesus in every part of your life. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you that are trying to reach your neighborhood, not just driving by your neighborhood, but actively praying for your neighborhood, actively meeting your neighbors, actively inviting them to know Jesus Christ and to pray for them. If you have ever wondered what difference does it make, you are supposed to be here tonight. This message is for you right now. Right now. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, addressed an argument, and it is one of the dumber arguments, especially when you know Paul. Yes. Okay? There was an argument over the ministry of Paul and Apollos. Yeah. right? They were both doing the will of God. They were both fulfilling the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their message was very plain. Jesus, that was their message. Good on those guys. But here was the argument. Who is the more successful minister? And they're arguing about it in the church. Is it Paul or Apollos? And they would line up behind their minister. And they go, well, I think Paul is the best. And he's my minister. And they would line up on this side of the church and say, no, Apollos is my minister. He's the best. But you know what also is a part of that argument? That guy's ministry is less than. That guy's ministry doesn't have as good of results. And is actually putting people down inside the church of Jesus. Now you listen to me. That didn't die with Corinth. That still happens. It still happens. Sometimes it happens between this church on this side of the street and that church on the other side of the street. And they just talk nasty about each other. But sometimes it happens to Christians who actually share the same row. And they're talking bad about each other. They're putting each other down. Which one has the bigger results? They argued that one of these ministers of the gospel was less important, was making less of a difference than the other. And so Paul wades into it. Get your popcorn ready. Paul just, he addresses it. We're going to read a little bit on it. 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. We're going to go all the way through verse 8. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Verse 6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Verse 7, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. You can clap for the Word of God. I love churches that clap for the Word of God. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. I want to tell you that some plant, say some plant, and some water, say it. All right. We all want to have success, right? You better be brave on that. It is okay to be real on that. Yes, I want success. I want to tell you that every week when I stand up here, I want success. Absolutely. When our worship team comes up here, they want success. They want to impact. They want to see make a difference. You need to be able to willingly admit, I want success. I want success in my house. I want success in my job. I want success in my grades. I want success. I want it. God wants you to have it. We all want to have success. We want to pray and see the results of the prayer, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We want to give a Bible study and have the results of the Bible study. Yes. We want to share our testimony and see someone become a believer, right? Amen?
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work this way. It does not always work this way. Responders join a work that they never finish. And we sometimes work and never see the result of the work. You can put years ministering into somebody, and today you're like scratching your head and say, what was that all about? Where is there even a single result from that time spent? Sometimes we are the firefighter who pulls someone from the fire. Sometimes we are the paramedic who gets the person breathing again. In other words, it's exactly what Paul is saying. Some plant and some water. Some take the seed. What's the seed? It's the Word of God. It's the truth about Jesus. And what do you do with the seed? You plant it. There's parables about this. There's plenty of scripture about planting the seed, the Word of God. We plant the Word of God. Don't you know a seed can remain in the ground a long time before you see anything come from it. A seed can remain viable for up to 5 years. Some of your simple vegetable seeds can be in the ground 5 years. You've forgotten about it, and suddenly you've got Artichokes, right? All those seeds that we planted at the house we just left from, babe, 5 years from now, they're going to be so blessed. They're going to be so blessed. It certainly didn't grow for us. It is possible to plant the seed and feel like you haven't accomplished a single thing. And watering can also be frustrated. Amen? Oh, you bet. You bet your life. There are times where you can water and see zero results. I love to talk about plants, and I'm so thankful for Marshall Blessing, our care pastor here. He's a plant nerd. Okay? If you ever want to talk about plants and gardening, you talk to this dude. I picked up the phone and talked to him just yesterday, and he said, you know, it can be really I feel almost foolish because he's telling me this. I've got this plant and it's out of its season, so it shrivels up to nothing, and now it's just a bare piece of soil, and I will feel so foolish out there watering it day after day, not seeing anything. I feel like a dummy when I take this thing that doesn't look alive and I carry it inside when it gets cold, and then I go, oh, look, it looks like a nice day, and I carry it back outside and I water it some more. I feel so dumb. It is possible to water. It is possible to tend the soil and feel like you have accomplished nothing. I know that I'm preaching to people who feel like they've been staring at bare soil. You've planted, but nothing. You've watered, but nothing. You've put effort into serving others. You've put effort into serving your spouse, your family. You've put effort in serving God's kingdom. You've helped people. You've prayed. You've done it. You've done it. It's not that you haven't done it. And no, you don't need another sermon about how you need more faith, because you did it all in faith. Can I tell you, sometimes Christians can just lambast people with the dumbest stuff. Somebody that's been living by faith, it's all that they're holding on to, and they open up about your weakness, and that brother says, well, brother, you just gotta have faith. I'm like, yeah, I know that! But I also need a miracle. I kind of need that too. And where is it? And if that's you, you're in the right place and you're talking to the right pastor today. All right, can we stop it, knock it off with the cliches? Like, well, let's just have faith. Are you kidding me? You're talking to a faithful person. Yes. Oh, man. Can I tell you, that is not encouraging. No, don't you dare do that. If that's like your natural response, zip your mouth. It's better to say nothing than to say that one, okay? Yes. All right, am I on it? Okay, that's good. What if you don't see results? What are you going to do if you don't see results? If you don't see the results, does it mean there are no results? Have you made yourself believe that? Do you have to see the results for them to exist? Do you have to? Do other people have to acknowledge the results for them to exist? Do you have to receive some sort of award, some kind of public recognition in order for the results to exist? Now, everyone says no, but that's not how we're living. The firefighter holds life in his hands, but at the end of the day may have no results to point to. When he's at his most weary, back at the fire station. The policeman may come to the scene to protect and to serve, but at the end of the day, have no results that are actually tangible that other people can see. And man, that was so much effort, putting your life in harm's way. And then what in the world does it matter at the end of the day? And then he reads the news at the next morning, and policemen are evil, according to some people. It's like, what? Thank you. Kick in the teeth. What results are there to show? The paramedic can do everything possible to save the life, but at the end of the day, have rushed the life to the hospital and have no idea what actually happened to the life. Do you know this? That a paramedic can't even fill out a death report? They don't know if they die or not. They take them to the hospital and then they rush back out to the next call, having no idea if that little girl, that little boy, that mother, that father made it at all. Will you keep serving even when you can't tell it's making a difference? You need to make up your mind today. Will you keep rushing to help people even though you haven't had any good reports? Will you keep praying even though you haven't seen a miracle recently? Will you keep inviting your friends even after some of them had said no? Will you keep planting? Will you keep watering? You don't have to see the results for there to be results. I want to tell you today, you don't have to see the results for there to be results. You planted that seed, but you have no clue of the life that started to take place within it. No clue. You watered what looked like barren soil, but under that soil, roots start forming and dead things start coming to life. You don't have to see the results for there to be results. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. It's Galatians 6, 9. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't go weary. Don't give up. You that are hungry for results, can I tell you the results are coming? They are happening right now, even if you can't see them. You just have to not give up. Don't grow weary and don't faint. Don't give up, because at a proper time, you will receive a harvest if you do not give up. I want to tell you, if you give up, you'll never see the promise. You'll never see the harvest. You got to hold on to faith. You got to hold on to faith, even when it doesn't look like faith is working. Hold on to that faith. Next verse, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Can I tell you today, keep doing good. Every opportunity you have. Does that challenge us a little bit? Every opportunity, do good in the opportunity. Bring good to it. Bring good. According to Galatians 6 and 10, the question is not, are you going to get involved? It is, how quickly are you going to start bringing good to the situation that's right in front of you? Some of you have opportunities that you just need to do good in. It's that simple. And especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare quit. But there is something you have to learn. And it sounds weird what I'm about to say. Don't quit, but you will have to learn how to release. Everyone say release.
Release.
You don't give up, but there will be times where you have to release people to God. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you really need to listen up. Tune in. There are times where you have done all that you can do to help someone, and you have to release them. You've given all the energy you can. You have to release them. You have to release them so they can actually go to the paramedic. So they can go to the next person that God has called who is ready for them. Earlier this year, I had a spiritual moment. In fact, it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. Spiritual moment. My wife spoke to me. It was clearly the Lord. It was absolutely the Lord. There was a family we had helped from being homeless and on the streets. Right here. Right here. We had many meetings with them. We helped them many times. We had nothing but love for this family. The last time I met with them, we prayed a specific prayer. We prayed. They came to me wondering, what is the will of God for our life? Because our life stinks, man. It's terrible. What do we do? And I sat down with them, and with the boldness of the Lord, I felt the boldness of the Lord. I said, we're going to fleece the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord to do three things. And when he does those three things, before the weekend is over, you're going to know exactly what to do. Before the weekend ever arrived, God answered that prayer. One, two, and three, they absolutely knew the will of God for their life. Praise the Lord for that. But part of the will of God, we said in order, we agreed upon it right there. Them, me, Pastor Marshall, and the Lord, we all agreed together that the will of God, when he answers this, it means that you're supposed to be in Plano, Texas, and you're supposed to be connected to the kingdom of God, and you're supposed to be serving God right here at Redemption Church. We all agreed, and God did the miracle. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, they weren't in worship. They weren't sitting at the chair. They weren't in this altar giving their heart to God. They were not fulfilling the will of God for their life. Can I tell you, that drives me crazy.
Yes, God.
It steals my joy. I hate that. It bums me out the worst way possible. It is worse than any Dallas Cowboys loss ever. Even worse than that one in Green Bay when we totally caught that. Dez Bryant caught that ball. My goodness. Amen. Amen, he did. Praise God. I'm telling you, it kills me a little bit inside every time I don't see them. And I just feel like, well, it's me. You haven't reached out to them enough. It's me. So I just pull out my phone and I just go, oh man, well, if I could just say the right words, all right. Just very carefully, because you want to remind them, but you don't want to make them feel so bad that you don't want to be a jerk. And so I just think, I give them the most thoughtful, direct text agony. Like, no, reverse that. Don't say it that way. How do you say it? Is there a thesaurus? Get a thesaurus. Find a nicer word than that word. All right. And I write this message just real simple. That message went along the lines of, hey, we love you. We miss you. I want to remind you that God has shown you his will, and his will is for you to be working in his kingdom. And when you are ready to fulfill that, we are here for you. We are hoping to see you this next Sunday. And before I push send, I do what every good husband does. I'm like, wife, come read this and make sure, number one, I'm not being a jerk, and number two, I didn't misspell Jesus or something. My wife, she takes that phone, she reads it, she hands me back the phone and says, your text is perfect, but after you push send, she looks me right in the eye. She says, you have to release these people to Jesus. I'm just like there blinking. Ever since I released those people, I've been at peace. Now, don't you dare get me wrong. I still love those people. They have my number. And you better believe I'm going to answer with joy when they call. But you got to release some things. You got to let go of the little girl firefighter. There are some things you don't need to hold on to anymore. Sometimes you plant, but God asks you to release the person so that someone else may water. Sometimes you must release people after watering them. And this is biblical. I hope you understand. Well, sometimes you must release people to a season of bad decisions and to face destruction. Where do you get that? Well, Paul, that's where I get that. In the end, so that they will need Jesus and be saved. They have to go through this problem. You can't carry people on a pillow all the time. You've actually got to release them to walk through some broken glass and some fire and to realize, oh man, my life stinks. I need God. You need this. They need this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 is really bold. Not for the faint of heart. There's no worship songs about this one. Nobody has put it on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt yet, but here it is. Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Whoa, Paul. Paul's not playing around. You know, you gotta love Paul. Oh my gosh. If you ever understand Paul, it will punch you in the gut. It is strong. This is one of the hard things about ministry. Hand this man over to Satan. There might be someone in your life that you actually need to surrender to the worst thing that you're trying to save them from. By them going through it, they might actually become saved. But the way they're going, they aren't saved right now. Listen, if they aren't saved right now, why are you carrying them around on a feather pillow? This is one of the hard things about ministry. Lord, give us the strength in ministry to never quit, but the wisdom to know when you want us to release. And don't get it wrong. Releasing people is not quitting on them. Not on your life. We've been working hard in the kingdom. You that have been working hard may have some people that you need to release. And the moment you release them, you will feel the peace of God because it's the right thing to do. And if that's you, I would like you to pray about that today. I knew a great pastor named J.T. Pugh. Great pastor. Great pastor. He would talk about the river of God. There is a river of God, and you're in the middle of that river. And everything flowing from the river of God is life-giving. It is blessing. There is healing in that river. There's joy in that river. There's peace in that river. There's revival in that river. The very things that you are requesting from God, you get ready. They're coming down the river. But the river brings, and it will also take. This is what J.T. Pugh says. There are times the river will take relationships. There are times the river will take things that are great. They're good. They're not even bad, but they're gone because the river took them. And if you aren't careful, you'll start fighting the river. The same river that brought you all this stuff, you're now fighting it, going, no, it's mine. My precious, this is mine. I want this. I want this relationship. I want this job. I want this right here. I want this ministry. I want these people. I'm not going to let, and you will start fighting the river of God. Can anyone really fight a river?
No.
Good luck fighting a river. Not going to work.
No.
The river is going to win. But there we are in the river trying to hang on to everything. And by doing it, we refuse the wisdom of the river. Because the river knows what to bring us. And it knows what to take from us. There are times that we lose grip on some of our relationships. And we turn around in that river. And we just watch with sadness as they float off. And then sometimes we shake our fist at God. God, here I am in your river. How could you have let this happen? There it goes, God. Do you even care? There you are in the river, arguing to the river. It's a sad moment. But J.T. Pugh says, don't you dare stay there. He says this, release it to the river. And as quick as possible, turn around. Because God is bringing something new to you. And you need to be ready for it. Look up. River. Look up, river. Some of you, have you been looking the wrong way in the river? You need to learn to release, and you need to learn to shake the dust off your sandals and move on. You need to learn to look upstream to the new things that God is bringing to you, because He's bringing new things to you. He's bringing new things to you. But if you concentrate on the old, you'll just let the new things go right past you. And guess what? We have gone months. We've gone years. People have gone decades doing just that. Those people I love, they left me. And there's a brand new relationship. That church I worked in, it just fell apart and the pastor failed. There's a new church and a new ministry he's called you in. But all you can think about is that thing. You can't even see it anymore. It's a speck on the horizon. And there are things so obvious that God is bringing you. Turn around. Accept the wisdom of the river. My goodness. Thank you, J.T. Pugh. Thank you, J.T. Pugh. Thank you. Long been with the Lord. We don't always see the results of our labor. Some plant, some water, and what results do we see? Sometimes none. So can I tell you this? Stop judging yourself by what you perceive to be the results.
Yeah. Amen.
Stop letting others judge you by your results. Can I tell you, I'm not going to let anybody judge the work and the call of God based on the membership here at this church. Because God's calling is bigger than any membership could be. There aren't enough people on planet Earth to even with the calculation of God's anointing and His power. And the same is true on you. Don't let your bank account speak to you about the calling of God. Don't let what other people in your life are doing and saying speak to you and judge you. Stop that right now. Stop it. My goodness. You want results? I got a result for you. How about this for a result? I haven't quit. I'm not slowing down. I'm still praying. I'm still helping others. I'm still serving. I'm still testifying. The fact that you have not given up, I don't know if there's a better result than that. That's a great result. I'm still worshiping God. I'm still trusting in Him. I'm still believing. I'm still reading the Word of God. That is a great result. Don't you know that hell isn't actually after your money or your car or your house? That's the result He's after. He wants you to quit. That is all that hell cares about. And the fact that you are still believing drives hell crazy. They don't even know what to do about you. Don't you know that they've thrown their best at you? You're kind of like the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Totally dating myself, I understand. My older folks that you know that movie, y'all support me and go, woo! All right, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. There's this moment where Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid are driving, they're riding, and there's these bad guys behind them. And they go, well, let's do this maneuver. This always loses people. And they go, we didn't lose them. And let's go around this mountain, and there's a secret way out, and we'll go, no, they're still there. And every time they turn around, these people are on their tail, and they're starting to get, they're usually very cool about things. Oh, we got this handled. We know what we're doing. But no, they ran against some people that they can't shake, and they can't get them to quit, and they can't get them to stop. They can't get them to give up. You are those people. You are those people. You can't quit. You're not stopping. You're not even slowing down. The hell can't shake you. Hell can't stop you. Hell hasn't been able to turn you loose. Hell doesn't know what to do with you. What if the boogeyman wakes up with a night terror and you are that night terror? It's like, oh my goodness. That person's faith, I just don't even know what to do with. I'm scared to death of her faith. My goodness, don't you dare think it doesn't happen. Demons tremble at the mention of His name. You're His child called by His name. Oh my goodness, I'm not crazy. I know what I'm talking about. So keep planting. Keep watering. And guess what happens? 1 Corinthians 3:6. Look, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Who's making it grow, friend? It's God. God brings the increase. God makes it grow. God brings the increase. He brings the results. We told you in this series that God is the first responder. Now as we bring the series to a close, I want to tell you that God is not only the first responder, he's the last responder. Yes, that's right. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's first and he is last. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says it. Looking unto Jesus, the author. That's the person that started the book and the finisher of our faith. Can I tell you, it's not about your ability or your intelligence. Not about it. It's about God. And this is why you need to trust God. This is actually why you need to learn to release with your faith. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm not telling you to release it to me. I'm not telling you to release it to Marshall. I'm not telling you to release it. I'm telling you to release it to Jesus. Do you think you could do that?
Yeah.
Yes. Let Jesus be the finisher. There was a guy, I don't know if you knew about him. His name was Michael Jordan, kind of a niche player in the NBA. I don't know if you knew about him, right? Michael Jordan, anyone, anyone? Michael Jordan. Where do you think he was? Do you think he was on the end of the bench when there was 30 seconds left in the game?
No.
They wanted him in there because he was a finisher. They've got the ball. The Bulls have the ball down 15 seconds. They call a timeout. They're drawing up a play, and they're like, oh, my goodness. I think what we want to do is give this to Bill Cartwright in the post. Will Perdue, can you go out to the wing and try a three-pointer? If you knew those people, you would laugh. No. Who do you think's bringing the ball up court? Jordan. And every kid knew this. That's why they stood outside in the playground and they're like, 5, 4, 3, 2, shoots. We'll do that again because I missed. And then like that was my whole life around a basketball court. Because this guy was the finisher. It would be an insane thing to put the ball in anyone else's hand. Can I tell you, there is not a greater finisher than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and he is the finisher. You can trust him. You can trust him. Give him the ball. Surrender it. Pass it to him. Stand back and watch the man work. My goodness. You aren't the finisher. Maybe that's where you spent this whole sermon. That was the sentence you needed. You aren't the finisher. Jesus is the finisher. God is going to do the finishing work in you and in everyone else you've been caring for. I want to tell you, it takes all the pressure off of me as a preacher. This message and my ability to communicate is not what really brings the difference. It's just a little bit of water, y'all. It's just a little bit of planting. But you get a load of the results that come from God the finisher. That's the best news I can absolutely give you. Some of you have been worried to death about your children. You need to trust in the finisher. Yes. Some of you have been worried about your church. I get that. I worry about our church too. Trust me, I worry about. But you need to trust the finisher.
Yes.
Come on. God started his work and he will finish it. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident in this. Somebody say confident. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What is the day of Christ Jesus? That's the day he returns to earth as king.
Yeah.
Until that day occurs, God is continuing a work that he started in you and in you and in you. And in me, and all the people you have been witnessing to, all the people you've been praying about, all those people that you've been coming and going to a connect group and praying time after time for them. I've been there praying before service. Oh, this person, I'm so worried about them. God started the work in them, and he will not finish that work until the day Jesus returns. He's working, y'all. He's working. And he's never stopped. There is coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to complete his work in you. Do we need to remind ourselves that we aren't finished products yet? God is not finished working in us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I want to tell you, one look. Everyone say one look.
One look.
One look at the face of Jesus, the last responder, and he will finish the work. All the work that you've struggled to finish in yourself. And Lord knows we've got secret little sins that we'd be so horrified if anyone knew about. We've got temptations that come against us. We've got bad habits. We've got all these things that we're trying to fix and we can't fix them. And it brings us back to the altar. It brings us back to repentance. It brings us back to the drawing board. And I said last week I was never going to sin that way again. And whoa, my goodness, Monday came and I blew it all. And here I am again. All those problems you never have been able to fix. One look in the face of Jesus and they're gone forever. Forever. That's how powerful our finisher is. One look at his face and it's all finished. All the work you've been trying to accomplish in others, you've been so frustrated. You've been so frustrated. I've worked so hard and I can't get them to see it. I can't get those people to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I can't get those people to profess their faith. All it takes is one moment where they see Jesus and it's done. It's done. Can I tell you, he makes all the difference. All the results are from him. All the growth is from him. The fact that he lets us be a part of the plan at all, that's the real news.
Yeah.
The real news is that he lets you plant and he lets you water.
Amen. Yes.
He's really the one that's going to bring it all together. Bring it all together. Knowing this ought to make you want to plant more than ever. More and water more than ever. This truth ought to give you courage to respond to the emergencies around you. Because you might not be up to it, but you're planting a seed that one day Jesus himself will finish, and that you're pretty confident about. You get me? Are you with me on that?
Amen.
Knowing that he is the finisher ought to make you more willing to release others into his hands and release problems into his hands, release sickness, release fear into his hands. Knowing the finisher is coming, why would you punish yourself for not seeing more results? Because when he comes, all the results are going to be seen. And later in this verse in Corinthians that we've been looking at, it says that the laborers receive their reward. Do you want your reward now? Just to be able to go, yep, I did that. Or do you want the Lord Jesus to do a complete work and then reward you in heaven with a crown that's incorruptible? Think about that. I want that.
Yeah.
Kathy, I want that. Dean, I want that. We're going to have that. Amen?
Yeah.
You bet we are. Why would you punish yourself for not seeing results? Let's pray to the finisher today. I'm about to open this for a time of prayer. Church, I don't want you to dart out of here. You need to spend some time praying about your frustrations and your worries. Some of you have people that you need to release, and you need to do that today. Some of you have been dogging yourself, and you need to get out of that, and you need to release yourself to the work of God yourself. I'm going to read one more verse and then I'm going to just start praying, and I'm just going to ask you to start praying in this place. We're going to pray. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. Here's our verse. Maybe you read it with me. It's our scripture memory verse, Psalm 68, 19 through 20. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Come on, church, let's talk to God in this house. Father, I thank you for every person in this house, everybody that's watching and listening on their computer, on their phone right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would receive the encouragement of God. Lord, I pray right now that they would feel the hand of God on their life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would receive they would release things to you, that they would ask you to move in their life, that they would surrender those things that they've been fearful about in Jesus' name. Lord, I am so tired of the enemy beating them down. I want them to stand in confidence and know that God is with them, that God is for them, that they are making a difference, that they have been successful, that God is not done, that God is the finisher in Jesus' name. Why don't you start inviting Jesus Christ to finish the work, God? Finish the work in my family. Finish the work in my marriage. Finish the work in my ministry. Finish the work in my heart. Finish the work in Plano, Texas. Finish the work in Wiley, Texas. Finish the work in Mesquite, Texas. Finish the work, God. Finish the work in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's reach out to Him. Let's reach out to Him in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.